to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Alrighty then, it's that time again, and we're glad, very glad to be right here with you as we usually are Thursday night at this time. Well, we always are, actually. And I'm Mama Mac, and along with me is my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni. And whoa! Look at that. You're adoring public. It just keeps happening. I don't understand it, but they love you. So anyway, no, so good to be with you tonight in the studio live. And for those out there in Radio Land that might want to call in and comment on this show tonight or ask a question, you can do that at 727-441-3000. Or you can text me directly to my phone right here, 727-888-4171. So 727-888-4171. And Pete, as always, is standing by. Engineer Pete, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. Getting over that Lightning loss last night.
Oh, I just found out that they lost.
Yeah.
Been working today. Game seven. They're done now, right?
Clunker.
Yeah.
Done. Season's over
with. What was the score?
3-0.
Ooh, that's
actually,
even worse.
4-0. Yeah.
That's even worse.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter. 3-0, 4-0. There's
still
nothing on the board.
There's still nothing.
And they got shut out both games where they needed to win, game six and game seven.
Right.
Terrible showing. It's a terrible end to a great season.
Yeah, it was a great season, though.
Yeah.
And they're great. And we
they
love our
great.
Lightning, our
yes.
bolts.
I do too.
Yes. And
now it's on
and
to the Rays and the Bucks.
That's right.
Hopefully the Bucks will be good.
Hey, the Rays are doing good. We're happy about
doing
that.
Doing okay.
Pretty good, yeah. So anyway, tonight, Dr. Angel, we're going to talk about a topic that I'm not sure we've really ever talked about, at least not in this format, and we're going to do what we call a Wing It Show. Do you want to explain what a Wing It Show is?
A Wing It Show is just that. We are winging. We're just having raw conversation about this topic.
And we're not. We don't have any outlines, nothing in front of us, or any way that we feel like we're going to go with the show. And the title of the show that we came up with is Backsliding. And a lot of people that go to church might think, oh, they're talking about sin. No, we're not talking about sin. It's not that kind of backsliding. It's talking about sliding back into old ways of thinking and behaving, right?
Yes.
All right. And we're going to call that backsliding or falling back, whatever way you want to call it. And why is that an important topic? And why are we even spending the next several minutes talking about that tonight?
Well, I think that almost anybody who's alive has experienced this or is experiencing this now in their life, because
right.
there's always a way of thinking or a behavior that we have that we don't really like that we have it, and
right.
we wish we didn't have it, and we probably have worked over and over to not have it, but
right.
keep finding ourselves right back having that problem.
So these things are usually not great things in our lives. Like, wow, you know, this is an accomplishment, and I'm falling back into that accomplishment, right? No, these are things that kind of hold us back in a lot of ways, and we slip back into them.
So easily and almost naturally.
Well, aren't we creatures of habit for the most part?
Yes, we are.
Wouldn't you say? Do you want to discuss habits and what they are?
Yeah, habits are just things that we do over and over and over, and
okay.
then we can do them, and our brain doesn't have to process it as strong to do it. Our brain will take the weaker route than a strong route of actually having to think and process and do it differently. And so when we have good habits, it's really great. But when we have like this habit, this negative thing in our life, it's really hard to retrain that brain to learn to do it different. It wants to go lazy on us.
Lazy.
And go right back to that one way we had that we don't like of dealing with it.
This is not exactly the same thing you're talking about, but how many times have we got in the car and we're going to work or someplace familiar and we get there and we go, I don't even remember driving that or how many stoplights I had or anything. We're just kind of in a kind of a dazed state.
Exactly.
Because it was normal. It was familiar, right?
Because your brain already was used to that route and already had that going. It didn't need the work to process to do it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you don't remember the drive.
Right. Kind of weird.
Which is really scary driving in Florida, not remembering a
not
drive.
Not remembering, yeah. But it happens. That's an example, but that's not exactly what we're talking about.
Not at all.
Habits are things that are familiar to us that we do over and over again. And a lot of us have read all kinds of manuals and magazine articles on how to change a habit in 21 days. And Do you want to talk about that whole concept of 21 days and why they say 21 days?
Well, they say 21 days is like kind of a magic number, because once we've done something over and over for 21 consecutive days, it's more easy for our brain to just go into rote style and do that activity.
Right.
I don't think there's a certain magical part of 21 days. I think, you know, it's just that getting a good cycle of that habit for our brain. So it may take you longer than the 21 days. Sometimes we can develop habits in shorter periods of time. So it's just, everyone's a little different too.
Well, most of us have had the diet thing through the years, right? That we've tried different things. And I've gone to Weight Watchers, I don't know, 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. I mean, 3 or 4 events. I mean, not just separate times, like several months at one time, or 2 weeks at one time, or things like that. And then, like Weight Watchers, an example of when you get into that habit of looking at points, counting points, whatever, it becomes just kind of more normal, and you get used to it.
True. But
however,
you went for several months, and you know that's where that defeats kind of that 21-day process, because
I know it's
easy to still fall back. And part of that is because it's not just about learning to do it differently. It's also about replacing those triggers and knowing what leads me to do this thing I don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So weight is eating is such a common one. The weight loss industry is huge.
It is. It's
booming,
huge, especially in January and February, probably every year.
It's booming. It's growing. Why? Because many people struggle with this problem over and over and over. And they kind of feel like they're deprived when we have to count our food, or we can't have these food groups, or we can't do this. We're kind of feeling like we're depriving ourselves. So we don't like to feel deprived. So
no.
We fall right back into that chocolate cake or whatever it is that, you know, is our downfall. We all have.
Don't say chocolate cake. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten for several hours. So don't say chocolate cake. But no, seriously, it is very easy to fall back into those habit patterns. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about mindset on this show. Do you want to define that and why a mindset is how it figures in here with this topic?
Well, sure. Yeah. A mindset is just a way of thinking.
Right.
And, you know, we all have a certain kind of mindset. Like some people have a way of thinking that they're always looking for like the positive in everything, or they might always find the problem in everything, or they might find that they're always at fault with everything. There's different kinds of mindsets that we can have. And some of them are self-defeating and hurting us.
But basically it's just a set of habits, right?
Yeah, it's a pattern of
Behavior. Right. Okay. So for the person out there that says, man, I really want to quit smoking, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or I want to quit biting my nails, for instance. You know, I've known a lot of people that do that. Okay. And whatever that thing is, and they may go along. That's the purpose of the show tonight. They may go along pretty good for a few weeks, maybe a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people who have quit smoking and 10 years later pick up a cigarette.
And they're right back in the habit
And they're immediately right back there.
And so see, that 21 days is not that magical number, because there are some things that are really strong for us.
Right. And drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that when somebody quits and then they go right back to that, maybe a few months later, even a couple years later, they go back to the level of where they, do you want to address
where
that?
Where they left off at.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You want to address that whole
Which
concept?
Which is why a lot of programs like AA and NA are based on the abstinence model, where you don't have any, like if it's alcohol, you don't ever get to have alcohol again. It's not like they say you can reintroduce it and just have, you know, a beer at a football party. No, they believe in not anymore, because they know you'll go right back to where you left off.
That level.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about us that does that? Is it psychological, emotional? Is it physical?
Well, when you're talking about substances, there is always a biological component, because it alters our brain. But there's a big psychological component too, also, especially addiction of any kind. You know, and a lot of times people will go in and they'll treat the biological part.
Okay.
You know, they'll get their body detoxed and they're thinking, oh, I'm good. I'm detoxed. I got this out of my system. But they have to change the psychological, emotional part, or they're going to be right back where they were.
Whoa, hold that thought. And I want our audience to have another opportunity if they want to call in with questions or comments tonight. 727-441-3000. We'd love to hear from you, because we're live tonight. Or if they would like to text me, that's fine, and I will give you the question that they asked, 727-888-4171, because, Dr. Angel, I neglected to say after the round of applause for you that you are a licensed mental health counselor. You do have counselors that work with you in your field, and you're a PhD, so you have a lot of expertise right here, 2 master's degrees, 2 bachelor's degrees, I mean, all kinds of things. So we're not just shooting in the wind here on this show. Our goal is to present issues that we all face and help people make some life choices that are better for them, right?
Absolutely. We want them to live. We want our listeners to live that go-yard life. We right. want them to hit those home runs.
Yes, we definitely do. Because why go through life struggling with the same thing over and over again? But that's the purpose of this show, because so often we make a little progress in an area. And let's say smoking, okay? Mm-hmm. We make an area in that, some progress in that. And maybe people go, yeah, I'm not smoking anymore. And then something happens, a trauma happens, or biting your nails. Both of those go hand in hand with panic, anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a reflex that people use because it's a crutch, right?
Yes.
You want to identify crutch.
Well, and a crutch is something that we, you know, it's like a crutch. It kind of helps, we think it helps to keep us stable when we're feeling weak. But those crutches aren't really keeping us stable, and they're not doing what we think they're doing for us. Like
right.
smoking, for an instance, I hear a lot of people will say, oh, I smoke because I'm so stressed.
And, so stressed. I hear
anxious,
that too.
Stress yeah. and anxious. And actually, smoking causes stress and anxiety biologically to our body. So it's increasing what we think it's decreasing for us.
All right. Let's take alcohol, for instance. People that think that it's going to make them feel better with what they've got going on. Let's say mm-hmm. in their life, they're sad, they're lonely, they're anxious, and so they start drinking earlier in the day, and they just, you know, keep it up through the evening, and by the next morning, they are very depressed. It's been my experience with mm-hmm. a lot of people, because alcohol is a depressant.
Yes, it is a depressant.
You want to address that.
So when we're already feeling down or kind of sad or going through a difficult time, we're putting a chemical in our body that's bringing our body even down more.
Even down more.
Yeah. Yes.
So all of this, so there's bad reasons, there's huge reasons, and bad outcomes if we slide back into some of the self-destructive habit patterns that a lot of us have. Let's go with panic a minute.
Okay.
Because a lot of times people they justify like the substance or the smoking or the nail biting or the whatever it might be. You can give some other examples because you hear
lots
it.
Of sugar. You
oh,
know.
Okay, yeah,
sure.
Yes, overstimulation with sugar, right? Or just food, just
or too
just,
much coffee. We just had that discussion today of
really?
How much coffee some people put in their body during the day, and I'm like, wow, it's a lot.
Really?
Yes.
Like 5, 6, 8 cups.
Oh yeah, they take espresso beans and they make cups of coffee with espresso quality beans. So very strong.
Very,
it's meant
very
to be
strong.
A very little dose. They're making a 16-ounce coffee cup with those.
Whoa.
It's a lot of caffeine.
And how are they rationalizing that?
Well, I have to keep going. I'm so busy. You know, my job demands a lot out of me. I have to, you know, keep up with my kids and work, and I need the energy. I'm
or
tired.
How about the little boost, those little 5-hour...
Yes. And that's a big market for those energy drinks.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And what are those doing to people?
Well, they're tearing our bodies apart is what they're doing to
right.
us, because we're taking them because we're tired,
right.
we're getting energy, but our bodies, when it's tired, needs to rest, not
right.
just spike it up with a chemical and keep going.
And so what is it with so many of us in our society today that we are maybe over-obligated, mm-hmm. got too much on our plate, don't know when to say no?
Mm-hmm.
You can address any of these that you like, and maybe feel more important the busier we are.
Mm-hmm.
I love to say, hey, I don't have anything going on this afternoon. I love that. It doesn't happen that often, but I love that when it happens that I can just go to the causeway, rest, read a book. You know, doesn't happen very often, but it's important when it does, and we should take advantage of those times.
We need to take advantage of those times. It's important, and you're right. A lot of people will develop like their self-esteem or their worth or their purpose based on how busy they are,
yeah.
or how many people need something from them, and we can't fall into that trap, because when we overstimulate our bodies too long, they are going to shut down one way or another. Either we're going to take that break or our bodies are going to take that break for us. And you know,
like in what form?
Well, getting sick.
Okay.
You know, I'm personally going through this right now with having surgery and learning to recover, and I get tired really quick. And last night I got home from work and I knew my body needed to just lay down. And I did. I just didn't cook dinner. I didn't go wash the dirty dishes as I normally would because I needed to give my body what it needed in that minute. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that, especially for like a go-getter, you know, get it done kind of person.
Right.
But I'm learning that I have to slow my body down or I'm not going to be able to do the things I want to do.
So for those out there that kind of thrive on being busy and being always at somebody's beck and call and don't value rest, what would you say to them, Doctor? You've lived this for years.
Yes.
Because you've been a professional student forever and with and raised three sons and held down a job every time all
yes.
the way through all this.
So, yes, I get it. Sometimes life demands a lot from us. But we need to watch, like, how we do our downtime. You know, we can't just go have our downtime be more extra stimulating things like hitting the nightclubs or doing a lot of energy type of things when we need downtime just to kind of chill or sit and relax or lay and watch a movie. Or do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We need to make sure we're getting that downtime in for ourselves.
Well, a lot of people feel that if they're not going clubbing or they're not going out with people, they're not out dating, they're not doing this, that their life is too quiet, and they don't like that. They don't like that quietness, that you know, nothing going on, and they start feeling lonely and depressed. And that's common. I hear it a lot.
But what I challenge my patients when that happens, and this is common, is what about that quietness? Do you not? What's in there? What is the root of that quietness bothering you? And
right.
if we can help them to understand that, then we can put a place, you know, plan and get through that and get them tools to where they can learn that this is good for me. It doesn't mean I'm alone, or doesn't mean no one loves me, or doesn't mean I don't have purpose. It means I do love myself enough to give myself this gift.
Of rest.
But looking at the root of why this bothers you, why can't I slow down?
And that really goes along with this whole topic of falling back into that activity that you are absolutely controlled by a crazy busy schedule, and you got this going and that going. And especially in the millennials, I think this is a common thing. They like to be up real late at night, sleep in. But when the real world hits you and you got to go get a job and you got to get up and do that, then they try to do so much. I've seen this in so many
yes.
of them. So it becomes a way of life. Let's go back to something like smoking or
okay.
somebody that's drinking way too much. Okay. So what happens with a lot of those people, let's say they come to a point and they have a traffic accident or mm-hmm. they have a DUI or two DUIs. I ran into somebody a few months back that had just had a second DUI within 2 weeks.
Wow.
And she was a college student and very accomplished, you know, biomedical field and doing all this, but had lost her license and was looking at jail time.
Wow.
With two DUIs that close together. Okay. And what she said to me, I said, golly, what happened after that first one? She goes, well, you know, I thought, yeah, that was fluky. That won't happen again. And, you know, I didn't take it seriously is what she said. And then she was full of remorse at this point. But she said, I thought I was full of remorse the first time, but I evidently wasn't. And that's a classic example of falling back, backsliding, back into that same behavior. And then the consequences were intensely worse mm-hmm. on the second DUI in just a few weeks.
Well, you know, what you kind of are describing is really a common, like, pattern. So sometimes people will attempt to change a habit or a behavior, like substances, like smoking, like drinking, like something like that, because loved ones around them want them to, or
right.
because maybe
yes.
they got in trouble with the law. It's
right.
not that they
yeah.
really want to change it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that consequence, and so I'm mm-hmm. going to do it for that, to not have that consequence. And that doesn't usually stick very long because it wasn't because I chose to give this
right.
up. And so it's easy to run right back there. Yeah, as soon as the next
legal pressure
trigger that triggers that behavior happens, you're right back to where you were before. And so it's really important that when you are making that decision to give up or move through whatever this habit or whatever it is. I mean, it can be as simple as nail biting and it can be as big as drug addiction.
Right.
But it's got to be, I'm doing this because I love myself enough to not want this bad thing in my life.
But a lot of people aren't thinking that way. They're missing that thing, whatever that thing was. Mm-hmm. The alcohol, starting to drink at 4 p.m. or noon or whatever it is, and how that feels, that buzzed mm-hmm. feeling. Or whatever that, you know, dating the wrong people that are not good for you, that are going to take you down really bad, scary paths, right?
Right, because they're buying some kind of lie.
Right.
That they're getting a benefit from this bad habit somewhere. So like a lot of people who use substances believe that it's taking away a deep emotional pain that they have.
Right.
Okay, it is. In the moment you use substances, yes, you're not feeling that emotional pain. Here's the deal. Once you stop using substances, you're still gonna have to deal with that emotional pain, which is so why it's so hard for them to get clean.
Which is what we're going to talk about right after this break. We're going to talk about triggers and why it's so hard and why do we fall back so often.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Then hey, welcome back to Go Yard. It's our show about hitting home runs in life and making the best of our situations, which we all have a lot of different situations going on in our lives. I'm Mama Mac, along with Dr. Angel, and we always want to remind people that they can catch past shows, and we've got tons of them on our website, which is goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com, .org. And the reason we point people to our website and also to the podcast here on this station, which I'll talk about in a minute, is because on our website we have titles to these shows. Right, Doctor? Why is that an advantage? Goyard2014.org, O-R-G.
Huge advantage, because when we're doing a show, it may not be where you are in the moment.
Right.
But life happens, and a lot of these topics are everyone struggles with at some point or another.
Right.
And so you have that tool when you need that tool.
So we encourage you to go to our website, goyard2014.org, and look up some of these topics, because a lot of times we do series. Tonight's one of those shows where it's a one hit, and then we'll go on to something next week. But a lot of our shows are series, 3 and 4 and 5 shows. Why do we do that?
We do that because some of these topics are just have a lot to them. And we're not looking to cover a surface because right. I don't really think there's a huge benefit in that. We right. want to get down and dig in the deep, dirty roots of these topics and right. really give our listeners tools.
And so if you've listened and you go, oh, I wish I would have written that down, go back to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, go to Go Yard, and you can find most of these shows right there or on our website, and take notes. Because that's a really good way to get it down on the inside of you. I've heard people say that some of our series, the ones we've done on boundaries, the ones we've done on drug addiction and abuse and violence and things like that, people listen to over and over again. And that's a good thing to do, right?
Absolutely. You know, it truly is like free counseling. I mean, what we do on the show is what I do in the therapy room with clients sure. one-on-one, and they pay good money to get it one-on-one. Right. So it's a good resource.
Absolutely. And so what are we trying to accomplish here week after week, Dr. Angel? And now almost 3.5 years, mm-hmm. going on 4 years.
We just want our listeners to live their life with purpose and passion and,
right.
and to live it well.
Yeah. And so if we can be a little bit of help there. That's what we want to do. And, you know, with your expertise, me being a pastor for almost 40 years and everything else, realtor and all that, we can just kind of bounce off of each other. And that's what we do with these shows, right?
Yes, we do. And I love that. We share a mindset.
Yeah, that's what we do. And we're just trying to get some points across. So tonight, if you just now tuned in, we're talking about backsliding, as some people call it, or falling back into old habit patterns. And we as human beings, we tend to do this over and over and over again. And it takes a while for us to learn these lessons, Dr. Angel. Why?
It does. Well, because they're hard to change. A lot of those bad habits that we have, first of all, we said before we went to break, we believe they're giving us something. So mm-hmm. we have this false
there's a payoff,
thought
right?
that it's giving us something. There's a payoff for us.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're just so deeply ingrained that we've done it for so long, or it's been what we've used for such a long time, that it's really hard
right.
to do it different.
Right. And so if you're out there and you fall back all the time into a habit pattern that you really don't want to be in, whatever it might be, maybe it's as simple as being negative about everything. The glass is half,
yeah,
you know,
half empty kind
yeah,
of thing.
Half empty all the time, you know, and that if that's where you're coming from and you don't like that about yourself, take courage tonight because you can change this. You don't have to keep falling back into that. But you do need to really look at your situation. And that's where, of course, I'm going to bring up the word journaling.
Yeah,
why am I
helpful.
Bringing that word up?
Journaling is a great way for us to, A, find what triggers me to do this behavior. Like, when am I doing it? Mm-hmm. What's going on that I feel the need to think negative or to bite my nails or to pick up that cigarette or what?
Or to
all that
overeat
yummy stuff.
All of that stuff and eat half a cake. I mean, because you're just feeling depressed or discouraged or whatever, and it fills the time and your tummy.
Absolutely. So we need to, you know, it helps us to kind of figure out what's going on around it. We can't change something until we kind of identify that. It's really hard to, because we have to have a plan for when we feel that trigger of how we're going to do that. You can't just take away a negative habit.
Yeah, you got to have a plan.
You have to replace it with a plan.
And I want to talk to you more about that in just a minute. So I'm going to make a note of that.
Okay.
But what about the person who gets involved with bad people?
Okay.
And they don't even know why they do. They're just attracted to drug addicts, or they're attracted to people that are going to abuse them or beat them or be emotionally abusive
sure.
or take advantage of them. And it's like, and they get away and they oh, the whole family's so happy because they're away from that awful influence. And within no time, maybe, perhaps just a few months or a few weeks or a year or two, there they are again with somebody who is so bad influence that pulls them right back into those old behaviors. Why does that happen?
Well, first of all, it happens typically because they haven't learned replacement behaviors
okay.
and they haven't learned what healthy should look like. And so these negative relationships are filling some need. That payoff is happening.
Yeah, that payoff.
So you kind of got to figure out what do they give this person?
Well, a sense of excitement. Would that
could,
be one?
Could be, depending on the relationship and the type of negativity. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It could be that sense of excitement. It could be that they feel loved because they're in a victim and people are trying to reach out to them. So they're getting all those extra phone calls and concern, mm-hmm. and it makes them feel valued or loved. I mean, it could be a lot of stuff.
Right.
That's one issue that I always recommend professional counseling for, because
why?
It's deep. You know, when we look in for those relationships, it's usually related back to our attachment style. And that happens when we're
really young. You want to amplify on attachment style?
Sure. You know, our attachment style is how we learn to attach to our primary caregivers in life. So do we feel secure? Do we feel, you know, there's different styles. And sometimes it goes all the way back to how we attached or where that attachment was broken in our childhood. Maybe we saw, you know, mom have that kind of relationship and we learn that to be normal. So there's a lot of deep parts to that.
Right. Okay. So that's one you would definitely say you need to sit down and sort all that out. Right?
Absolutely. And it gives perspective.
Right. And because sometimes these problems that we go back to over and over again do have roots. Yes. They go back to early childhood or even in the womb sometimes.
Sure. Which is why they're hard to change. And so it's got to go root plucking if we really want to change all the way.
Yeah.
But what happens with a lot of people is they make like, okay, I got a plan. I'm not going to smoke. You know, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to get the patch. I'm going to, you know, use it and replace it so I can change my behaviors. And they do really good. And then they have a slip up. Mm-hmm. And then they are so self-defeating and they are condemning themselves and shame and I'm so awful and I'm the worst person and that they just keep doing the bad habit now because, well, I already messed up. I might as well just keep doing it.
I might as well just keep doing it. I'm just going to go ahead and eat all this
food. Instead of saying, okay, I'm human.
Right.
Okay, had a bad day. We'll get back on that train tomorrow and keep trying and going forward. Because we're not robots. We're not a computer that you can program, okay, here's what you're doing in the program, and it just happens. We are going to have slip-ups.
And I've heard people say that, you know, God in his wisdom gave us a 24-hour-a-day cycle, right? So that at the end of the day, and it's dark, and we start a fresh day with a sun coming up, new opportunity for change. And I think you hit on something, the shame thing. So many people beat themselves up so bad when they break their New Year's resolution or they don't follow through with their being on the wagon or whatever, or instead of getting a 30-day chip, they got a 1-day chip.
Yes, they do. They do. They beat themselves
up. They beat themselves up.
They expect perfection.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And these things, you know, a lot of times have really deep roots, and there's not going to be a perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be realistic about that. We're going to have times where we might have a slip up or, you know, we might go get that, you know, late night snack when we're on a diet, you know, and maybe, you know, depending on what we're trying to break, maybe we have a contingency plan with people losing weight. I always tell them, you need to have a time where you can have what you want.
Right.
You got to feel that urge or it's going to get so loud, it'll take over.
Yeah.
And so maybe building in a contingency plan, depending on what you're trying to work with, but be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, absolutely. Cutting back is a good way to start, right?
Absolutely.
On whatever it is, cutting back.
Right.
Okay?
So if you're smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and, you know, in 2 weeks you're only smoking 3/4 of a pack, well, that's progress.
That's progress. I like to congratulate myself when I drive by McDonald's and don't get 3 cookies. Because you know what? I usually do this. I order... If I'm getting a cookie, I order 1 cookie. And what they say is, oh, but you can have 3 for $1. Mm-hmm. Don't you want 3? And otherwise, they're 59 cents a piece. And okay, give me 3. So I fall for that.
Right.
You know? And so I've gotten to the point now, if I do allow myself to have a cookie some week, I just say, no, I only want 1 because if I eat all 3, if I buy all 3, I'm going to eat all 3 in the next 2 minutes. And they laugh and they go, oh, yeah, gotcha. You know, but it's true. I need to hear myself say, I'm not going to eat 1 if I have 3 in the bag. I mean, seriously.
Well, that's a realistic
plan. I'm not
plan.
Even going to eat 2. I'm going to eat 3. That's what I'm going to do. And so I've gotten to the point now that if I drive by McDonald's and I have that urge to pull in and get those cookies, and I don't, I go, way to go.
See, and we have to celebrate that success.
I do. I actually do celebrate that because, yeah, that's a weakness. And then they came out with 13. You can have 13 for the price of 12.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's just not good at all, but I've never done that. I haven't fallen for that trap. Oh, don't you want 13? No, I have not fallen for that one. But still, this is a problem, just a stupid example, but
no, it's a good example.
It's an example of where we overindulge in mm-hmm. something, and then we beat ourselves up. We feel terrible because we did, and they don't taste as good. Because you did eat too many.
Well, we feel bad physically because we just overloaded our body with a bunch of stuff. We feel bad emotionally because we gave in, we fell off the wagon, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So now we're beating ourselves up and we are our worst enemies.
Yeah. One thing I've tried, because I love Big Macs, McDonald's, tried just saying, okay, I get one of these a year. One a year.
Okay.
And so if it's early in the year, I don't want to waste my one time. So I'll wait a while, you know? And those are just little tricks I've played with myself just to get myself not to eat that thing, right?
And those are great tricks to play with yourself. And then when you do have that moment, it's okay. Tomorrow is a new day.
Right.
It's a new day. Every day is a new day.
So you're saying for the people out there struggling with that, because they backslide into habits and things they know they shouldn't be doing, cut yourself some slack?
Yes, you're human. And what happens when they backslide, they shame themselves so bad that they get stuck in the cycle of never getting out of it.
Right.
And so you still can work towards getting it out. It's work.
But it is work. And when we convince ourselves that we're not going to be able to overcome this, I've heard people say, there is no way
just
I can.
Just the way I am.
This is the way I am. I am going to drink every day at noon. I don't care what anybody says. I am going to be drinking forever and ever and ever. But then eventually, you know, you pay the piper and there's some physical things that start to happen to people. Smoking, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever begins to happen and you go, oh, I got to quit that, you know.
Absolutely, because then you have a choice, you know, quality of life or longevity of life versus smoking. And some people will still go towards not leaving that habit.
Yeah, they will. Triggers. Let's go back to triggers. Because absolutely. So often it's our intention to give that thing up mm-hmm. or give that person up or give up that really bad relationship that's so destructive.
Or that thought pattern that we have.
Or the thought pattern, or the negativity, or the worry, or the anxiety. It's our intention. Talk to me about triggers. In what form do they come?
They can come in any form. There's no
rhyme or
reason.
I know the answer to that. Many, many forms.
And every person has different types of triggers, so it's what's triggering you. That's why that journaling is really important.
Oh, yeah, we never went on with that.
Because it's not like you can come into my office and say, Dr. Angel, I have a problem, I want to quit smoking, and so what will my triggers be, and how, like, let's make a plan.
There's no way to know that, right?
It's individual. And so,
Give us an example. For smoking.
For smoking, it could be work stress. Stress is usually a very common one. So anytime someone's like with work stress or family stress or kid stress or whatever,
I've heard people say, well, I was doing really good, but I went to this party and everybody's standing around with a drink in one hand.
Yes, and I had a smoke because everyone was drinking.
And that's not something I've dealt with. But I know people who have dealt with that a lot.
One.
It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more comfortable, it's socially acceptable, you know, type thing if you're in that setting.
Absolutely. And so every person's different on what triggers them, and every person's going to be different on how they can replace that trigger. So because what happens when we have that, what's happening inside of us on a kind of a psychological is that you have the trigger, and then it raises that impulse to do whatever that bad or negative thing that we do. And then that impulse like stays there until we relieve it somehow.
So we do it.
So we either pick up the bad thing and relieve it and then feel shame and remorse.
Right.
Or we pick up that replacement thing to relieve it.
Like, what do you mean?
And
give us an example of a replacement thing.
So instead of smoking, maybe I'm going to decide that I'm still going to take, you know, a lot of times people will stay smoking, especially at work, because they get more breaks.
Okay.
So maybe they'll say, instead of smoking, I'm going to just go walk around the outside of my building, and I'll take those 5-minute little breaks during the day and go get some sunshine. And I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to do something positive for myself.
That's a good idea. So replacement.
When they would normally go smoke, now they're going to go take a little short walk or something or whatever. So
good idea.
Yeah, that you always have to have something to replace that impulse that you feel when you're triggered, because triggers are coming. And if you don't have that plan, you can only stay strong so long before you give in.
Right. So many people, I think, live in other people's lives. You know, they look at somebody else and say, wow, look at that. They don't ever struggle with the things I struggle with. And so that shame or that feeling inferior causes a lot of people just to be a trigger and go right back to the same thing again.
It does. It gives them an excuse.
Explain that. It's kind of a convoluted thinking.
It does. We kind of, and you know, social media has really become a trigger to this, because we get a more glimpse into more people's lives through it. Although it's not a realistic glimpse we're getting, we're always usually getting the best of their lives. But then we compare ourselves, and then we feel like we're less than because they don't have this problem and I have this problem. And
but how do you even know that they don't bite their nails or that they don't smoke or whatever?
And here's the deal. Everybody has negative thought patterns or behaviors or something
everybody
they
has
wish
something
they didn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. So, okay, so the person out there says, all right, so I'm aware that there are triggers, but I'm not sure what they are. I just know I find myself doing that thing that I didn't want to do.
So then I'm going to ask you, when do you find yourself doing that thing?
And that's the way to
and
find
out
you what
find
your trigger
is. When are you doing it? Is it, you know, late at night? You know, a lot of times people with, like, the sweet thing, it's like this late night, I binge eating the sweets. What's going on late at night?
I was reading it in the Bible today in Romans 7. There's a chapter there about Paul, who wrote so many amazing books of the New Testament, says right there, the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And it's so good to hear that from such a man of God.
Right, someone who's very esteemed in faith.
So my point is that I think a lot of people put themselves down and think people of faith or people that are in the ministry or whatever never struggle with anything.
Everybody struggles.
Or somebody that's got a PhD or somebody that's your medical doctor never struggles with weight or whatever, you know? That's not the case.
You're right. I get a lot of surprised looks when, you know, you're human, you know. So I've been very open about my kids and our lives and whatever with especially staff when I'm training or working with them. And they look at me and like, you're divorced? How can you be divorced? You're such a great therapist.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know, it's life.
Things
life
happens. Yeah. Right. And so I think a lot of times we make excuses for our wrong behavior by looking at professional people or other people and saying they aren't struggling, and I just am not that strong, so I just gonna have to give in to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can't. If you really want to do better, if you really want to get on that go yard life, we don't. There's no room for excuses.
Right. That's it. Excuses are. Oh my gosh, that's a big part of this thing. I think when we go fall back. We fall back because we have a set of excuses already beginning to form in our mind. Right,
we're justifying what we're doing so we don't feel so bad about doing it.
Right, yeah. So you had a stressful day, so a trip around McDonald's for 3 cookies is just not a big deal, right? Until you drive away and realize you already ate them all in the drive, you know.
But, you know, so say it's that the trip about cookies, you could decide, you know, I'm going to replace that with a fruit cup.
Right.
So you still get that relief.
Right.
But you're doing something better for your body.
Yeah. It's just not as good.
It isn't. But, and then sometimes you're just going to want to
have a cookie.
Yeah. And it's okay.
And it is okay. But it's that whole thing of cutting yourself slack that
patience,
I think is hard for a lot of people when we talk about this topic. It's too easy to beat yourself up versus say, whoa, man, I messed up today. But not tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to go, you know, destroy these pills or cigarettes or whatever that is, and I'm not going to do it
tomorrow.
And
then I'm going to look at what was wrong in my plan that I can fix? Can I fix my plan to help me be more successful?
Right.
Maybe the thing I'm using to replace it with isn't really helping replace it. Maybe I need to choose something different.
Right.
You know, use that. You know, if you fail forward, it's not a failure.
Fail forward.
Yes.
Explain failing forward.
Failing forward is learning something from that failure to help you be successful.
Right.
And so it's a learning. You're going to, you know, as long as we learn something from it and can take that into helping us, you're failing forward. You're moving forward. It's okay.
And you, the condemnation thing is huge in a lot of people.
It is.
And I mean, that's a spiritual term, but shame, I guess.
Yeah, the personal shame.
Personal shame is a better term for it, where we're beating ourselves up and we're feeling really ashamed of what we've done.
Yeah, feeling really bad about ourselves. And we can beat ourselves down over and over because we just keep thinking about it and ruminating on it. And, you know, it becomes in our thinking pattern. Oh, you're such a terrible person because you gave in again. How can you do that? You're so weak. And we got to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop that negative self-talk because we're just wearing ourselves out.
Do you think a lot of people call themselves names or say bad things to themselves about themselves?
Absolutely they do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, this is a lesson I've been really working on myself. My struggle is asking for help. I struggle so bad to ask for help. And going through surgery and not even being able to move myself without help, I had to ask for help. And then I felt so terrible about doing it. It was so hard for me.
Yeah.
You know, I finally have gotten, now we're, what about, this is like week four, five, right? For me out of surgery.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And I have now learned how to ask for help without feeling so bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really a challenge, and I was forced into it. There wasn't an option for me.
Well, but it's because, you know, we take pride in being strong and having it all together and not needing AA or, you know, I've known a lot of people that I would consider alcoholics from just years of watching their behavior that refuse to go to AA because that's just where alcoholics go.
Right, exactly.
It's the term. They don't. And where is that level or that place where you become an alcoholic or you have a
social
problem with alcohol?
Social to. And I'll tell you where that line is. When I look at that line therapeutically, it is when you are using that substance because of a trigger.
Okay.
If there's a trigger happen and I'm picking up a substance, that's the line of it being a problem. If I'm just enjoying a drink, good glass of wine because I have a nice dinner and I'd like to have a wine to compliment it, that's not the problem. If I am, you know, enjoying vacation and I want a margarita with my vacation, that's not the problem. The problem comes, I had a stressful day, where's the wine? My kid wrecked their car today, where's the, you know, the alcohol or whatever it is.
Right.
That's where it's the problem. So
where it becomes the go-to issue, the go-to thing. Right?
And that's the line, is if it a problem.
Yeah. And so, audience, hopefully this discussion is helping you or has helped you tonight. You can go back and listen to it again. We're not quite done, but I just wanted you to recap here in just a moment. But I want to remind people right here, tantalknetwork.com. Go to the website here. Go to the tab that says podcasts and go down to the name of this show, which is Go Yard. And you're going to see all kinds of shows right there. No titles, but you're going to have dates and, you know, just pick one and listen to them. You know, podcasts are a great new way to get a lot of important information in just a few minutes as you're jogging, as you're driving in your car, as you're trying to go to sleep at night, whatever the case may be. So what do you, Dr. Angel, want these people to remember tonight from this show on backsliding or falling back or whatever you want to call it?
Well, first things first, everyone's human.
Okay.
Everybody has things that they don't like that they do or think or behave or whatever. And be patient with yourself. It's usually a deep part of our life that has those things that are so hard for us to change. Have the patience. Make a realistic plan. Look at it. Be willing to, you know, journal or take notes. What's my trigger? What can I do instead of this negative thing? And celebrate each success.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I did better today than I did yesterday, if I smoked 20 cigarettes yesterday and today I smoked 18, that's a success.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate that instead of feeling bad that, oh my gosh, I'm still smoking. You know, be realistic. We're not going to just go to extinguish behavior and have no plan. It doesn't work that way.
Right. And become self-aware of your triggers, right? Get a journal, write them down. That's a good way. Then you can open your journal when you've, and you say, oh, that was a new trigger I need to write down.
Absolutely.
That's why I did that.
So when you make a plan, you're more successful.
Self-aware.
Yes.
Yeah.
But be patient. Don't put yourself down. Everyone's going to, you know, fail forward.
Fail forward.
It's okay.
It's another Dr. Angel term, like chunking it, you know, that we talk about so often. So it's so important that you realize that you may make progress in little tiny baby steps.
Little tiny baby steps. And that is acceptable. Progress is progress. If you take, you know, 365 days in a year and you have a baby step for, you know, 300 of those days, you're going to have a pretty good giant leap by the end of the year. They add up.
Yeah.
We expect too much. We expect, you know, I'm going to go from, you know, gorging on all this junk food when I'm feeling sad or lonely or whatever to I'm just not going to ever touch it again. Like, we don't work in those extremes.
We don't work in those extremes. Even babies. My youngest grandchild was just here for a week, Joel baby. And Joel is almost ready to walk, but he crawls like lickety-split around the house. But he also now, we noticed this week, likes to just stand in place, which is like, okay, he's not sitting and buckling, he's standing. That's the next step is he's going to take a step, right? But it's the same emotionally when we're fighting all these things. These are incremental things.
Yes, and we have to see it that way. You know, you have done this probably for a very long time, which is why it has. If you're looking at something that's just totally bigger than you, don't be afraid to get professional help.
Right, yeah. Because so often we can't do it on our own.
Yeah, we need some kind encouragement. Of accountability.
And we need that scale to, that's why there's a scale for losing weight, right? Okay. All righty then. So we'd love to address any issues you have, and we'd like to collect some questions for our question and answer show that we'll have soon. So send those to our email address, goyard2014@gmail.com. Any questions, because a lot of times they're very long when they come in. So use that email address, goyard2014@gmail.com. Go to our website, goyard2014.org, and catch podcasts right here on tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts, go to Go Yard, and new topic next week. And always good to sit here and chat about these things, and we hope that we've helped you. You can text us anytime with your questions or your comments or just anything you'd like to ask about, or do a show on this sometime, and do that at 727-888-4171. And we need to get out of here.
Yes, we do. And it's been so great to be live tonight.
It is. I love being live. And occasionally we have to. We've had to the last 3 or 4 weeks because of surgeries and your surgery and all that. But we always love to be live in the studio. So until next week. We got to get out of here.
All right.
And who are you?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, yeah. And I'm Mama Mac. And this has been Go Yard. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Good night. On this weary soul, come and take me to the river.